Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 13th of October, recording at 10:20 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first the highlights in here. The Wall Street leash effect continues to drag almost all stock markets downwards, but Wall Street steadied up before the close for a change today. More on that in a minute. Bonds still looking ropey. U.S. dollar, well, this is really interesting. We had the dollar index push back up above the back up above the 90 level once again, but it couldn't maintain it. And precious metals took fright in here today amongst the general nervousness, but closed well off the lows in most instances. And industrial metals, a little profit-taking seen there as well, also in the petroleum contracts. Okay, let's go back to these stock markets. I've used the term downdraft, and that's certainly what it's looked like, and really sentiment has deteriorated sharply since Wall Street took out those August lows. And they are important psychologically. I'm glad I made that point a number of times and just emphasized the fact that markets were getting overextended on the upside and were vulnerable to a correction. Now, what needs to take place here to steady markets up rather than see a continued sharp sell-off? Well, that's easy. Clear upward dynamics. What do they look like? Subscribers, well, just go back into the libraries and look at charts of the S&P, look at daily charts of the S&P, and go back to previous lows, important lows, reaction lows that we've seen this year. Go on to the weekly charts, candlestick charts, I would say, and well, those are going to be the weekly ones in our library, and look at the upward dynamics that you can see there on every low of any importance going back to the going back through over the 5 years history shown on those charts. So really the bottoming signs have been pretty clear in every instance. We get a sharp sell-off and then suddenly we see this emergence of those big white candles on the graphs, which are out of character to the type of action we saw during the preceding sell-off. So that's what needs to take place. Now, when's that likely to occur? At the moment, we have a short-term oversold position, but I'm not going to try to be clever and prejudge when that turn is going to occur, because there's some scary things going on here for markets. First, I've said all along that this rally is long in the tooth. And yes, there's still plenty of liquidity around, and that has helped to bolster equities, but we also have the specter of rising interest rates, and it's not just short-term interest rates this time that people are talking about. We're also seeing bond yields edge up. So previously, when we saw stock markets sell off, the bonds usually rallied quite sharply. They haven't done so this time around. So that's certainly a bit of a problem for stock markets. And then there are the energy prices, which, although off the highs, are still pretty hefty here. And you put all that together, and with interest rates and worrying people about whether the housing market is going to stop moving up. Well, it's not worrying Greenspan, but what's worrying investors is the fact that they know that people have been using their houses as ATMs for a number of years. And if U.S. interest rates cause the housing market or house prices in the United States to level off, let alone tip down a bit, what's that going to do for consumption? And if consumption gets hit, it'd be negative, obviously. And if consumption gets hit, then what's that going to do to corporate profits for many industries? So you can see the domino effect that this has been having. And I will not get excited about any buying opportunities until I see those clear upward dynamics. Now, meanwhile, is this, again, because no one knows the answer to this question of is this just a little squall in here? Well, it's not so little a squall for some markets. And I would point out, look at the downward reactions that we've seen in markets that have been just stellar performances over the last 2.5 years. Norway would be one example. Well, there are lots of examples, but I'll just mention that one, and I'll also mention the Australian stock market, and you can add Canada in here as well. So resources are certainly not immune to this selling squall. And what is abundantly clear, well, I certainly don't think the fundamentals have changed for resources, but the share prices got too far ahead of themselves in the short term. What's the evidence of that? It's not just with hindsight. Look at the accelerations that we saw on the upside. That's always an ending characteristic of an always to be determined duration. And therefore, we are seeing, once that momentum stopped, we're seeing a number of people, particularly leveraged accounts, heading for the exits here, so booking some profits. Hardly surprising overall, but as I said, I'm not going to try to be clever and sort of guess where this is squall is going to end. And we can watch support levels. We can identify potential support levels. Owen's done a bit of that in his contribution to Comment of the Day in here. But just remember one thing, that in a weak market environment, prices go through potential support levels like a hot knife through room temperature butter. And in a strong market environment, if you get a drop back to a support level, overall strong market environment, if a price is pushed back to a potential support level, they usually bounce quite strongly, and they also take out resistance levels on the upside. So if support levels are tested and found wanting, and they're broken in other words, then assume that the momentum of the decline is still intact. Okay, enough of all that. Let's move on here to some tactics. You know that I don't really want to sell some of my core positions, like the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust. I know that thing's overextended. I've been saying it for a while, and I think there are few bigger bulls of India than myself, at least among the group that still put their trousers on one leg at a time. I have been pleasantly surprised and mildly alarmed by the extent of the gains we saw on the upside. So why not grab the profit and step out? Well, really, I think I'd rather stay there, ride out the correction, add if it's a big correction, increase my long position if it's a big correction, and hedge the thing asymmetrically, which I've done once again. Now, I'm not aggressively hedged by far. I just took the first step here terms of a DAX short position. I did want some cover, and I'd been talking about doing so for a few days. Why the DAX? Because we were seeing some short-term oversold conditions on indices, U.S. indices such as the NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow, while some of the Europeans had also deteriorated, fallen back to their August lows, but some others were just showing a bit of a loss of momentum. So if markets are going to remain weak, then they would, I think the ones that have been resisting the decline but show the loss of momentum could play catch up. On the other hand, if I have timed it badly and we are going to see a big bounce tomorrow or whatever, then I think that probably the ones that haven't come off that much are unlikely to bounce as much as some of the ones that have been quite soft recently, where short positions have built up, and also where bargain hunters might be or markets that bargain hunters might be attracted to once prices begin to steady up. So that's the thinking on that at any rate. And I may well let some more short positions out, but playing it very much by ear, and particularly on the basis of what I see unfolding in the markets here, what I see on the charts over the next few days and weeks. Okay, government bonds, you know my view on that, and I posted another article on the subject today. We're in a late stage of top formation development for government bond prices. Don't like the sector. I wish I still had a short position. I frequently had short positions there. Always a little bit tricky during that ranging top development stage. And rest assured, when we next see a reasonable rally in government bonds, and we will from time to time, I will be talking about shorting them once again, and hopefully actually will short them. Now, in the one of the reasons why I've been less interested in that sector recently, though, and didn't let some out last time, was because I was concentrating on the precious metals, and that hasn't been too bad a thing to do. Although they did get clipped in here today, that enabled me to pick up a baby steps long position in silver, which I did again in my dollar account, where I've been handling the trading while running the core position in my sterling account, and no other reason for doing it than that. And I have further orders beneath the market in silver. It needed to drop down to 771 for me to pick up that spread bet position at 772 and a half, which I did. We're currently trading here at 776. In these nervous conditions, the market could easily go, or silver could easily go 10, 20 points in either direction very, very quickly. If it's on the downside, I'll buy more. If it's on the upside, I will certainly be lightening again, but not aggressively. I've only got a couple of baby steps units here, and then I'm down to my core position, which I'm unlikely to unlikely to abandon. In terms of gold, a little bit alarming here, and in terms of today's action, I think for people who are highly leveraged, and probably a fair number are, judging from the way this sort of bounced around, I'm in here today. But at the end of it all, we're looking at when I'm looking at December gold, 474 and a half, and what was the high? About $9, the high that we've seen on this move, about $9 away. So this is not a big percentage play, but it is choppy, and it may well remain choppy for a while longer. Overall, relative performance of these precious metals against the background of a strong dollar, I think, has been mighty impressive. Now, I wouldn't assume that that would always be the case. In other words, if I've underestimated what the dollar is going to do in here, and if it were to go screaming higher, then I think there's little doubt that a number of speculative positions in precious metals would be unwound, and we'd see prices drop back really quite sharply. But as I've said before, we're in the second psychological perception stage of this bull market, evidenced by the fact that back in September, early September, I think it was, that we saw gold break upwards against for multi-year highs here against all the major reserve currencies. Point I've stressed over and over again. Now, in the second stage of the bull market, we should see less profit taking overall, so therefore generally smaller reactions than we had seen during the previous 3 or 4 years. And the only exception to that would be if gold did something absolutely enormous on the upside. Always possible, but it's not something I expect, and it's not something I'm going to predict anytime soon. I think we're still in this sort of kind of staircase step sequence where the pauses, instead of lasting for many months or 18 months in terms of the last one, are more likely to last a few months at most, and maybe only a few weeks. And then, and just say with shallower reactions, which are less frightening overall, and then we get the overall upward trend moving higher. So in other words, the angle of the overall upward trend is likely to steepen a bit, but not not be run away by any means, I don't think. Now, the biggest hit in the precious metals was in platinum today. I think that fell back to, oh, it's thin markets. It does whip around, as we've seen all along, and I think it dropped down to 925 at one stage, maybe a fraction below that. That's against a close yesterday at 945.5. I'm talking January platinum now. So $20 at least on the downside, but regained half of that move by the close. What helped these markets to precious metals to regain those or part of those declines was the fact that the dollar index pushed above that 90 level, and it pushed to its highest level since July, but then it couldn't hold it. And what we saw was a rebound by the euro, which had been quite weak, and the euro getting a small, well, leaving plenty of tail on the chart, bouncing back up from the lows of its range since July. That may cause some euro buying in here tomorrow, or some dollar selling. And also, we saw similar action in the yen, which fell back about. I think it got up to about 115 and a half, and then fell back quite sharply. It's currently at 114.50 overall. Now, if we had the dollar come down for more than a day or two, I have little doubt, in my mind at any rate, that we'd see gold go surging upwards and at least challenge the $500 psychological level. Again, I maintain second stage bull market for these precious metals, and it's early on. That second stage only just began. Okay, what about the oils? Well, they're going to range around a bit more, and I just want to look at the contango backwardation situation, because yesterday we did see crude, it might have happened the day before, move into a small backwardation, and yes, that's been maintained here today. So crude in the low 60s, if it's got a backwardation there, I wouldn't be looking for much further on the downside. I think I might have said earlier in the week or last week that there was an outside chance that we could see sea oil come back towards the $50 level, whereas previously I'd just been talking about it in the trading in the back to perhaps 60, and again in saying that there is an outside chance that it could come back to 50. That was certainly not a prediction, but I had pointed out some of the recent technical deterioration that we had seen in oil prices. But if we've got a backwardation there, then 60 is quite likely to be near the lower side of the range that we see during this correction. Natural gas fell back in here today, a little bit irritating for me. I've got a long position there, but hardly surprising that these markets are twitchy and that they are going to whip around a little bit more than we have seen on other occasions. And I think that's pretty much it. A little bit of a bounce in cocoa here today, which I was pleased to see, being a bit of a stale bull in the December contract. And that's it, folks. So all the best.